The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
I'm here. Let me see. No, problem solved. Isn't that good? Thank God for good sound men. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mason. Brother Mason always. You ready? Brother Mason always makes me look good. Okay, let me see. It might not be Brother Mason. It might be me that needs to make me look good right here. And how about that? Okay, it is not on. Okay, and now let's see if I look good. Ready, Brother Mason? Here we go. You ready? Brother Mason always makes me look good. I appreciate that, Brother Mason. Thank you so much. You know, he's an amazing fellow. He really is. It's probably because he's married to who he's married to. But he comes up here. Honestly, he does. He takes the time off to be able to come. Whenever we have a conference, I don't have to ask him. He's just so faithful to the ministry that God has called him to and working the sound system that anytime we have a ladies' conference, he takes off, comes up. We have a Baptist leadership conference. He's here. He's here in the morning. He's here at night. We had a youth rally just the other day, and he came, and I just appreciate him so very, very much. You know, it's always good when you can get up and have sound and make sure that people can hear you. And may I say this, boy, I appreciate those that work in the nursery. Wow. If you're ever a preacher and you have to be in competition with a baby, I promise you, you will lose every single time. I mean, it doesn't matter how good of a preacher it is. It doesn't matter if you got a good outline and the Holy Ghost is all over it. If you're in competition with the baby, you've just lost. You might as well just hang it up, say amen, go to the house, and forget everything but the offering, amen? And we're in John chapter 10 and verse 10. Here's what we see in our Bible. I want you to notice it carefully because this is a description about Satan himself. And it tells why Satan does come. Now, I'm going to preach a message. I worked on it this afternoon and even changed it this afternoon. But I'm going to preach a message on ways Satan tries to steal your heart. Ways that Satan tries to steal your heart. Now, there are certain ways that we'll see in our Bible study tonight how Satan tries to reach in. And he really tries to cause problems in your own life. And by the way, he does the same thing inside the family's life. So I want you to see it tonight. We're in John chapter 10 and verse 10. Of course, this is describing he himself, where the Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal. The emphasis is this is really why the reason he's coming. The Bible says to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it. This is talking about the Lord and that you might have it more abundantly. Now take your Bible, let's abide in the scriptures tonight together. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 15, 2 Samuel chapter 15, and notice what the Bible says in verse 6. 2 Samuel chapter 15, using our Bibles tonight. By the way, it's always good to bring your Bible to church. Amen. You know, if you don't bring your Bible to church, it's almost like you're coming not fully prepared. Always bring your Bible to church, okay? The Bible is important, so bring your Bible to church. It's almost like coming to church without your shoes. Everybody can smell you. And so bring your Bible to church, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 6, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and on this matter did Absalom, the Bible says, to all of Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, you know that Absalom, of course, is David's son. And the Bible talks about in several different places how David felt about his son. He loved his son. He wept over his son. He wanted his son to do right. But here you see that Absalom had a different heart than his daddy. Absalom had a different purpose than his daddy. Absalom had that which was inside of his mind that I'm going to rise up and I'm going to steal the throne from my daddy, the king. And the Bible says that he had a way in which he was trying to do this. Of course, now you'll see that this is after the awful chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 15, this is after the awful chapter where David had committed an awful sin. And you see that the sword of judgment has now fallen upon the very house of David. You see here as we study tonight that now Absalom rises up and he tries to overtake the throne by stealing the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, by the way, you be careful about somebody that tries to steal your heart from the Lord. You be careful about somebody that tries to steal your heart from the preacher. You be careful about somebody that tries to steal your heart from truth. Here we see tonight how Absalom tried to do that very, very thing. Now, as we study this tonight, I want to give you a typology tonight, and I want to show you how Satan does the same thing as Absalom did do. So you will be able to see, perhaps, how Absalom, being a type of Satan tonight, tries to steal your heart. How Absalom, being a type of Satan tonight, tries to steal the heart of your children. How Absalom, such as being an example of Satan tonight, tries to steal the joy, if you would, out of serving Jesus Christ. Let's notice it tonight. Let me give you a couple of statements, as I most often do, so it's easy for you to be able to follow along prophetically, if you will, and be able to see things. Watch this, if you will. He tries to steal the heart by changing your focus. He tries to steal the heart by changing your focus. So many times when a person tries to steal the heart of another, what they do is they try to change your focus from focusing on that individual to focusing on something else. Now watch what takes place here. And I'm using Absalom again as a picture of Satan tonight. And so Satan uses a distraction to try to change your focus. Now I want you to follow along tonight. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 15 in verse 1. Here comes the men, if you would please, as they're coming in. And so no doubt they're coming in for counsel and stuff like that. And so Absalom is going to try to get people's attention. Maybe that's on the side streets, or maybe that's in the mall-like area that's doing their market shopping and whatnot. So notice what he does here in 2 Samuel chapter 15 in verse 1. The Bible says that it came to pass that after this, that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now, why did he do that? Well, here's what he's doing. He's trying to get attention. He's trying to say, hey, look at me. Let me just show you who I am. And so he tries to get the chariots to go out there, and he, you know, trying to pat himself on the back, and he's trying to draw attention, if you will please, away by distracting people from focusing on what they themselves are supposed to be focusing on. And 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 2, the Bible says, and Absalom rose up early. And by the way, when you have an agenda, it always causes you to rise up early. There's an urgency about getting it done, whether your agenda is serving Jesus Christ, whether your agenda is making money, whether your agenda is education, whether your agenda is something else, it always has an urgency about it if that's your focus. The Bible says, and Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And the Bible says, and it was so. And when any man, it said, had a controversy, came to the king for judgment. So the king was one that would solve controversy. By the way, that reminds you of a pastor, doesn't it? The pastor is supposed to solve controversy. And by the way, in a growing church, there is always going to be controversy. In a growing church, there's going to be people that don't see eye to eye. And normally it's because one's taller and one's shorter. But in the church, there's people that don't see eye to eye. There's people that have mixed emotions. And in the church, there's people that say, well, you know, I think we ought to emphasize this. And by the way, everybody should want their ministry emphasized. But please don't forget, we are a church. Let's not forget that all ministries are important to the Lord Jesus Christ underneath that which is the umbrella and the operating of that which is the local church. So the Bible says that these men that had controversy, they would come to the king for judgment. Then Absalom called unto him and said, it says, of what city art thou? And so he's beginning to make a conversation. He's moving in slow for the kill. The Bible says, and he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And so he begins to conversate. Now, by the way, conversation is good as long as the Lord is in the center. Conversation is good as long as you put Christ first. Conversation is good as long as you're talking about righteousness and holiness and godly living and standing up for that which is right and standing against the wicked and the wiles of the wicked one. Conversation is very good when you get into the conversation and somebody's trying to encourage you to serve Christ and to do more for our loving Savior. Conversation is very good. But Absalom here had prepared chariots and horses and 50 men to be able to run before him, to be able to draw attention and eyes off of the king to he himself. Now, by the way, may I say, you be careful hanging around the person that's always pulling for themselves. Be careful about hanging around the person that's always just patting themselves on the back. Be careful about hanging around the person that's always, it's about me, it's about me, it's about me. Can I tell you, in the local church, it's not about me and it's not about you, it's about him and it's about us. And so tonight, we understand this, that Satan was trying to distract. He was trying to change, if you would please, the focus of one as we talk about Absalom tonight, being a picture of that which is Satan himself. How did he do that? Well, Satan uses distractions to try to get you to change your focus. He also does this. Satan would try to use deception to change your focus. He'll try to deceive you. Notice in your Bible tonight as we study our Bibles together in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 3. The Bible talks about how here we see that Absalom said unto him, "See," it says, "thy matters are good and right." He said, "I know you're coming to the king. I'm standing right here," and he's conversating. "I know your manners are good and right. I know your problems, the things you're struggling with, your controversies," is what he's talking about. He says, "I know that they're good and right, and there is no man." Now he's talking about there's not somebody supplied to be able to hear your controversies. He's saying no man is there for you. The king is not even there for you. So he's stepping in. You know, the king is too busy. He don't have time to talk to you, so come on in. Let me talk to you. I can help you just as much as the king. And so what he's doing is he's trying to steer the people away from maybe the man of God or maybe, if you would please, meeting with God himself. And so here Satan is trying to steer the people away and come on to me and come on to me. And by the way, don't let anybody steer you away from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't let anybody stop you from meeting with God. Don't let anybody stop you from meeting with your pastor. Don't let anybody stop you with trying to get wise counsel to be able to know what is just and what is right. In 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 4, the Bible says this, and Absalom said moreover, he says, oh, that I were made judge in the land. Boy, I tell you what, if I could only be the pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, if I could only be the principal of a Parkside Baptist Academy. Boy, if I could only be the college administrator of Lone Star Baptist College. Boy, if I could only be a deacon at Parkside Baptist Church. Boy, I'd set them all straight. If I could only be a bus captain at Parkside Baptist Church, I could mark it up and show them how it's really done. If I could only be the choir director at Parkside Baptist Church, can I tell you what? I could do a better job. If I could only be a staff member, boy, I tell you what, I could just mark it up and just show everybody how it ought to be. Well, the Bible says here that Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come on to me, and I would do him justice. Boy, if they only knew how important I was. Well, aren't you glad that they don't know how important you think you are? Aren't you glad tonight that God is the one that puts up one and pulls down another? Aren't you glad tonight that God's in control? Aren't you glad tonight that with God there is no mistakes? Aren't you glad tonight that God knows exactly what you need in your individual life? In 2 Samuel chapter 15, we see something else. Notice, if you will, please, in verse 3, as you see that Absalom here, as I read a moment ago, he's seeing all the matters, and he said, you know, that's a just cause. Boy, that's a just cause. And boy, that king, he don't have time to meet with you, but you've got matters that are good and matters that are right that needs to be heard. I'll tell you what, why don't you just come in on to me and let me talk to you? So here's what he's doing. He is stepping up, and he's trying to get those that or right to change their focus. By the way, are you listening to me? Rock music has been, is, and always be a tool of the devil. And when a young person tries to get you to change your focus about rock music, can I tell you, you ought to know right then and there that they're trying to get you diverted to go another way. I'm telling you tonight that that which is right and that which is holy is always going to be the right and always going to be the holy. And we ought to decide as people of God that we're going to take a stand and not let anybody change our focus. Satan tries to distract us so that we'll change our focus. Satan will try to deceive us so that we'll change our focus. And Satan will try to discourage us so that we'll change our focus. He'll try to make you think that, well, it's not all that bad. Can I tell you, dear friend, sin is very bad. The time when you start thinking it's not bad is the time that you start drifting away. You know why some people have stopped coming soul winning? Because they don't think that their disobedience is all that bad. You know why some people stop tithing? Because they don't think that their disobedience is all that bad. You know why some people stop reading their Bible? Because they don't think that their disobedience is all that bad. You know why some people stop being a godly mom and dad and setting the right example for their children to follow? Because they don't think that their disobedience is all that bad. They become their own God, and they put God in his corner and said, don't you come out and talk to me, and don't you tell me what to do, because after all, I'm right and you're wrong. And may I say tonight, let God be true and every man a liar. You ought to decide tonight that you step all over your flesh, mortify it, put it to death, rise up and serve Jesus Christ to your full capacity, and don't be somebody that gets off focus not to serve the King of Kings. May I say tonight, he tries to steal your heart by changing your focus. If God has blessed you with a godly mom and daddy tonight, you ought to thank God for that. If God has blessed you with somebody that is in your life tonight, you ought to thank God for that. Statement number two, he tries to challenge your faith. You know, the Bible says that faith is that which we're supposed to live by. Matter of fact, God says it's impossible to please him without faith. Faith is mentioned four times in your Bible as you study your Bible. And so God wants you to have faith. Matter of fact, when you were born, God gave every man a measure of faith. So every man has a measure of faith. Now it's up to you to do with that faith what you want to do. You can do nothing with your faith. Or you can do everything with your faith. But God wants you to use your faith. You ought to decide tonight that whatever causes you not to use your faith, that you're not going to let that divert you and get you off track. Let me give you some thoughts about faith tonight. By changing what you consider many, many times to step out by faith, you think about this, he causes you to stagger. Causes you to stagger. By causing you to consider that which will cause you to stagger. Oh, watch this. We had young people who came to New York City. And when young people come to New York City, when we lived in Brooklyn, some of them were country kids, and they would come to New York City. And my wife would remember this. We would show them the towering buildings as I would take them down Fifth Avenue in different places. And they would look up, and they would look up, and they would look up, and they would say, wow. In utter amazement. They never seen anything like that before. We go down into the tunnels, they would say. Well, not really. We went down to ride the subway. But they thought we were going to go down into the tunnels. And so we go down in the tunnels, and back then we could pay 25 cents and ride it all day long. Those days are gone forever. But we go down into the tunnels. I know sometimes I had a friend of mine by the name of Tom Cairo, and he would say, hey, let's go get a haircut. And we'd go over to Manhattan, we'd jump a train, and we'd go over, and he had a fellow over there that he wanted me to get a haircut with sometime. And so we'd get on a train, we'd ride over. I'm so glad he came to me. I'd get lost, and I'd wind up in Alaska somewhere. But by causing you to consider that which will cause you to stagger, sometimes you can get so close to a problem that the problem, dear friend, overwhelms you. You can get so close to that thing that is really not as big as what you think. And a matter of fact, if you look at it from the heavens down, it looks pretty small. But when you're standing right beside of it, it looks gigantuous. It looks like there's no way you can overcome it. There's just no way. But can I tell you, I can do all things through Christ with strengtheneth me. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 5, the Bible says, and it was so that when any man came nigh to him, now you think about this, what he's going to do is he's going to watch them as they're coming, and he's going to watch as they come over and they get ready to bow down, and here's what he does. The Bible says that he put his hand and took him and kissed him. You know, he would take and he would be able to try and get in very, very close. And by the way, Satan is no fool. And Satan tries to web his way in. Satan tries to make you feel like everything is all right. Oh, I wish you could get a grip on this tonight. I wish you could see that serving Jesus Christ is the most important thing you could ever do in your life. I wish you could see tonight that as a Christian, God wants you to be surrendered from the top of your head down to the sole of your feet. I wish you could see tonight that instead of holding back and saying, well, I'm not going to serve God to that capacity, that you would just decide tonight as a member of Parkside Baptist Church that you're going to get back to old time religion, that you're going to get back to serving Jesus Christ, that you're going to get back and stop playing tiddlywinks with the world and stop trying to just be in here. And then when you go outside of here, you're in with that crowd. No, you ought to be all the way in. Hey, consider selling out. And don't look at the big things that tries to get you. Why? Because those big things will cause you to stagger when you start looking at them. I'm saying tonight that here Satan comes along and he tries to challenge your faith. How does he try to challenge your faith? By causing you to consider that which will cause you to stagger. How does he challenge your faith tonight? By causing you to compare that which will cause you to stop. You know, if you're not careful, it becomes one of the biggest challenges of your life when you start comparing yourself to somebody else. Well, I tell you what, I'll never be able to sing like a Brother Palmore, so might as well give it up. Well, don't let Brother Palmore be your standard. Let the Lord be your standard. You're not in competition with Brother Palmore. You're in competition, if you will please, with yourself to be your best and your best only. Now, your best might be a different level than somebody else's best. You ever thought about that? I've heard some dear old saints that get up and they begin to sing. And when they begin to sing, they might miss a note here and they might miss a note there. But boy, do they bless you. I've seen people that get up and they begin to sing, and oh my soul, the power of God is so much upon them, they'll get shouted down before they ever get halfway through the first verse. Can I tell you tonight, don't compare yourself to somebody else and stop. Don't compare yourself to another preacher. Hello? There are certain preachers like you have in your life that I like to hear preach as well. But can I tell you, don't put all preachers in a box and shake them up and say, well, I tell you what, everybody's got to be just like my favorite preacher. Well, now, if that be true, then everybody needs to be like your personality. And we thank God they're not. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying allow God to use different people that will come by and different people that will graze this pulpit and different people that will pick up their Bible and different people that will rear back and preach the infallible truths of the Word of God. You allow them to be used in your life. But don't compare yourself. Well, I'll tell you what, so-and-so led X amount of people to Christ, and I've not led anybody to Christ this past month. But are you trying? Are you trying? By the way, leading people to Christ don't make you spiritual. Your walk in obedience to God in all matters of faith makes you spiritual. But can I tell you, leading people to Christ is important. And how do you do that, preacher? How do I see more people saved? You go more. You tag up with America for Christ and go more. Stay out on your bus route more. Talk to people more. Give out more gospel cards, tracts. You get to see more people saved if you just open your mouth more. Most of us know how to do it. We just don't do it. I'm saying by causing you to compare to other things, that'll cause you to stop. The Bible says that he put forth his hand and he took him and he kissed him. What's he doing? He's drawing attention. You know, he is making himself to become like David, but he's not David. He's not David. Somebody said one time, well, and they were talking about one of the old time preachers and said, well, I tell you what, my goal is to be the next and name the preacher. My goal is to be the next and name the preacher. And I said, well, first off, you'll never make it, because when God made him and he's dead and you're still alive, but he broke the mold. Don't try and be somebody else. Let God use you. You are fearfully, stay with me, you are fearfully, listen to me tonight, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. You've got specialness just in you. The way you smile, the way you laugh, the way you tell a joke or can't, the way you walk down a hallway, don't compare yourself to somebody else. You're cheating yourself. Now, what's my saying? If you try to be somebody else and you step in their shoes, who's going to be you while you're gone? God wants to use you. Amen. You're special in the sight of God. You know, I'm saying this tonight. What he tries to do is he tries to challenge your faith. What he tries to do, to statement number three, is he tries to steal your heart so that he can control your future. He tries to steal your heart, friend, so that he can control your future. Now, how does he do this? Well, he offers only that which is temporary. He only offers the temporary. A temporary joy. By the way, can I help you out tonight? The Bible says that the pleasure of sin will only last for a season. Well, I'm going to go get high. What are you going to do when you come down? And then you had to pay for it. And you'll pay for it physically when you come down. Oh, but preacher, I'm going to go out and sin tonight. Well, what are you going to do when you wake up in the morning? Morning is coming. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get involved in pornography. Mess your soul up, mess your mind up, destroy your marriage to come. Well, preacher, I'm just going to go over there and I'm going to get drunk. You're going to have a headache tomorrow morning, friend. What are you going to do with that? Well, I'm just going to get out there and chase the girls. Any girl that will let you chase her is not worth salt or spit. If they're dressing to get your attention, then that means they're dressing for every other guy too. Think on it. If she is flaunting herself before you, she's also flaunting herself before every other guy that sees her. I'm not being mean tonight. I'm being straightforward. But if she's dressing questionable, it's because she is questionable in her character. You be careful. You see that girl and she walks with a wiggle. And the reason you know she's a wiggle is because she's got everything so tight. There is nothing under heaven that is questionable. She's walking so tight, boy, you can just see everything. Can I tell you, when she's walking that tight, she's not just putting that show on for you, Bubba. She's walking that tight in front of every man. Oh, she's just trying to get me. No, she's just trying to get a male that's breathing. You're not as special as you think you are. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, look, don't let somebody come in and try to control. Satan wants to come in, and he wants to steal your heart where he can control your future. You know, he only offers that which is temporary. Watch this, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter 15, look at verse 6. The Bible says, and on this matter did Absalom to all Israel, not just a few, to all Israel, and that came to the king for judgment. He's just trying to get anybody he can. Hey, would you follow me? Would you follow me? Hey, come to me. I can counsel you. Come to me. I can help you. Come to me. Let me show you the direction that I can take you. Now, be careful if somebody don't take you the wrong direction. Hello? Be careful that you don't get involved in something. Listen to me, teenager, that you do not get involved in something that's going to take you down and sink you for life. You ought to get some determination in your heart as a young person that you're going to walk down this aisle on the day of your marriage and you're going to be pure. Yeah, man. You ought to decide tonight that you're going to be an example for those that will come after you. Amen. I'm saying tonight, you know, that the devil will try to get your heart and steal your heart so that he can control your future. So what does he do? He offers you that which is temporary. This Absalom, he had no power. He had not the power of the kingdom. But here he is, and he's saying, hey, look, come on to me, and I'll be the one, and I can be the one that will give you judgment. And all of Israel came unto the king. And Absalom, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 15 and verse 6, and Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, what's he doing? Well, he's just getting temporary. I mean, it's not going to last because God did not sanction that. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, young people. Listen to me. It doesn't last just a temporary fix. It doesn't last. It's there for just a little while. And then it's over. Don't make it just for a little while. Do something that's going to last for Christ. Boy, I'm so proud we got young people that's here, and you go to those devilish public schools, but you stand for God. Man, you're dressing like a modest young lady ought to dress, and people are coming up and they're watching you, and you are being exactly what you ought to be, so that now they begin to question, what are you all about? What are you all about? From time to time, different ones will go out to eat after church, and Brother Butler had corral some people together from the young married class that would be in his particular class, and they went down to Denny's to eat. Well, I like passing out tracts. Now, it's not because I'm necessarily spiritual. I just like doing it. I mean, to me, it's just fun. I enjoy giving people the gospel. I love to see people get saved. I love to see Brother Craig and I went out soul winning. Brother Craig from New Jersey. And I went out soul winning just yesterday and had a great time and led two young men to Christ. And what a wonderful privilege it was to be able to lead this one young man to Christ as his wife was sitting there and wanting him, no doubt, to be saved. And she was nodding her head. And Jason bowed his heart on the sofa and received Jesus Christ as Savior. What a wonderful thing that was. What a wonderful thing it was to take Jonathan outside as he stepped outside of his front door and be able to show him how to receive Christ as Savior. And what a wonderful thing it was on Thursday night for my wife and I to lead Alan and Jordan to Christ. And what a wonderful thing it is to be that personal soul winner that gets out there and shows people their need of Christ. And by the way, listen to me, that is something that is irreplaceable. But can I tell you this tonight? It is something, if you will, within itself is eternal. It's not temporal. When they get saved, I got saved forever. Amen. It's not something that is temporary. It's something that is eternal. Amen. And my fear is that some of us tonight, we're trading the temporary for the eternal. Amen. You know, reading your Bible, that's eternal. Yes. What you're doing tonight by coming to church and hearing preaching tonight, can I tell you, that's eternal. When you try and raise a godly family, can I tell you, you're going to reap dividends of that, because one day he's going to get married or she's going to get married and they're going to have children, and that's going to be your grandchildren. If you raised them right and taught them what is right, that doesn't mean they're going to embrace it, but at least they've got it. They've got something to come back to. And can I tell you, that's eternal. So the devil, he tries to steal your heart so that he can control your future. You know, now let me help you tonight. Oftentimes he'll offer you that which is temporary, just temporary. Well, you don't have to do that today, you know, and just go ahead and back off and don't read that Bible today. I mean, after all, breakfast is important. Don't do that today, because after all, it's important. And he tries to get you just to compromise just a little bit. And by compromising just a little bit, he begins to get a foothold. He begins to get a place inside of your life. Tonight, let me close with this. He offers only that which is trash. You know, in the end, it's just trash. I remember going to Cambodia, and if you'll look it up, you'll find it, no doubt, on the internet. And it's called in Cambodia, the trash pile or the trash heap or something like that. And I remember years ago taking about 20 soul winners into that which is the garbage dump. And inside of the garbage dump, when you walked in, there's burning all over. And the smoke is coming up here. You walk in with a white shirt, and when you leave, your shirt is just covered with ash. Your shirt is it's really no good anymore. You just can't clean it anymore. You know, you might as well just throw it out. And but I remember walking in there and smelling all that stuff. And I watched these little kids walk around without a stitch of clothing on, and because they didn't have money for clothes, and some kids were walking around with just bags on them, and they would live in the dump. And I remember I was helping to start an independent Baptist church in the dump. There was over 6,000 people that lived in that dumpy area. They didn't live very long because they're breathing in all that smoke. You ever pass by something that's burning outside? Or somebody's burning their trash, or they're burning maybe some brush or whatever. Well, that's the way it was in that dump all over. And these people lived there. They could not wait for the next trash truck to come in because you would see them. They were hungry. And they would go over to that trash truck, and they would start digging through the trash to be able to get some food. And they would bring their plates, and they would dig through the trash to find some rice. They would dig through the trash, and they would find some old fish that somebody threw out. And they'd begin to clean the bones to get that little piece of meat. And they would sit over there next to the trash, and they would sit down family after family after family after family after family, and they would eat out of the trash. Now, by the way, you don't have that. We got good homes. We've got security. Man, you guys, some of you guys wearing suits. You know, you've got nice clothes. Most of the world is not that way. If most of the world stepped inside of this room tonight, they would say that you have got to be the richest people in all America. Because they don't have anything like that. Then you get mad because your parents take away your game. You get mad because your parents say, no, you can't play that long. You've been wasting too much time. Get out there and rake the yard. You get mad at them. You get upset with them when they say, turn off that television set, that flat screen, and you get out there and you do your homework. You get mad at them. I'm saying tonight, listen, he offers you nothing but trash. The Bible says here in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 6, the Bible says, and on the matter did Absalom to all, it says, Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom, I read it again, stole the hearts of the men of Israel. I remember being an assistant pastor many years ago, Central Baptist Church, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where Nehemiah comes from. I remember being an assistant pastor there, and I remember that there was a fella years ago that just did not back my pastor, Dr. C.R. Williams. Oh, I remembered it bothered me so much. And he would have people come to his office, and boy, they'd just sit in the office, and he would listen to their complaint, and then he would side with them against the preacher. And finally, it just got under my skin, you know, just bothered me so much. I thought somebody's got to straighten him up, and I just feel called. And so I walked in his office one day, and I said, look, if you got problems with preacher, can I suggest you do something? Would you go to preacher and stop trying to divide his flock? Go to preacher. Sit down with preacher. Tell him what your problem is. I didn't say what the problem was. I said, tell him what your problem is. And sit down with the preacher. He said, no. He said, preacher will never listen, and preacher's too busy and all that. I said, fine. We're going to go together, and we're going right now. He said, oh, no, I don't want to bother the preacher. I said, I'm not giving you a choice, Bubba. I said, we're going to go, and we're going to go right now. We need to go, and we need to go right now. So finally, you know, he decided that he was going to come. And so we walked down into pastor's office, and I began to tell some things and stuff like that. And can I tell you, listen, what he was doing, and preacher did not know this, but he was privately meeting with the deacons and all this other stuff. And he was an Absalom on the rise. And can I tell you, listen, when somebody comes into your life or the life of your family, and all of a sudden, your kids are listening more to them. Stay with my thought. And your kids are listening more to them than they're listening to you. Somebody's stealing their heart. When all of a sudden your child is on that phone and they're texting somebody more than they're talking to you, somebody is stealing their heart. When all of a sudden they're wanting to spend more time with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so that's about their age, but they don't want to spend any time with you as daddy, they don't want to spend any time with you as mama, somebody's stealing their heart. Can I tell you, you have to be very, very careful that you don't let Absalom come into the life of your teenagers. You don't let Absalom come into the life, if you would please, of that which is your church relationship with somebody else. Now, I'm talking about somebody, if you will, that's sort of like on the way out. And by the way, churches will always have people, and you've seen this since I've been pastor, I hope, but because it's true, churches are always going to have people on the way in. Oh, we're excited about that. Man, we're excited when somebody joins the church. Woo! We get to shake their hand, but you're also going to have people always that's on the way out. You're going to have people get backslidden. Before you know it, they begin to miss a service here. They'll miss a service here. They'll miss a service here. They miss soul winning here. And then that backslider starts to be critical. They'll be critical about this and be critical about that. And well, of course they're going to be critical. When you don't walk with God, all you do is see things through a critical eye. So they begin to criticize this and criticize this and criticize this and criticize this. And then they start to compare, well, this is not the way it used to be. And they compare about this and compare about this and compare about this and compare about this. Instead of growing in the Lord, they're growing farther and farther away from the Lord using all the excuses that they can give. And that's all they are is excuses. Can I tell you tonight, one of the most important things you could ever do is just decide that you'll never become an Absalom. One of the most important things you could ever do is decide that you're not going to get an Absalom in your life that's going to pull your reins from serving Jesus Christ. Hey, we got a good church. I said, hey, we got a good church. Yeah, we got good singing. We've got good standards. Man, we've got a good Bible. We've got Bible truth. We've got young people that are serving God. But you say, well, what about so-and-so? They're not serving God. And feel sorry for them. Just feel sorry for them. Feel sorry enough for them that you pray for them. Feel sorry enough for them that you encourage them. Feel sorry enough for them that you're rooting for them. And feel sorry enough for them that you try to help them. Try to help them. All of a sudden, I see somebody starting to slide. Who hadn't I picked on lately? Come here, if you will. All of a sudden, I see somebody starting to slide. Now, by the way, this is what good brothers do to brothers that are starting to slide. And this dear brother, you know, we've been walking side by side. And by the way, everybody should be doing this, not just the preacher. Hello. So here we are. We're walking along here. And as we're walking along, we turn around and start walking back this way. And Absalom stands up. And as we're walking over this way, it catches his eye. And so as we get closer, they begin to communicate. And I'm walking back this way. And I notice he's gone. Where in the world did he go? Somebody, by the way, the Bible says, who hath hindered you? When somebody's hindered, it's always going to be a who. There's always a who behind the scenes. So I look around and finally I see him. He's back there with Absalom. Oh, man. Absalom. And so I say, hey, I'm glad to see you standing right here. By the way, come over here and I want to talk to you. And so I take that brother along and I begin to nurture him again. And the preacher stands and the preacher is preaching. You know, he's preaching the Bible and he's telling us, I'm saying, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Woo! You got me. Woo! You're stepping on my toes. Woo! Amen, preacher. Woo! All right. And all of a sudden, I say, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Hey, let's sit on the front row. We can get under the spout where the blessings come out. And boy, I try to encourage him. Hey, why don't you be my soul winning partner this next week? Yeah. Hey, let's go. Can we pray together at the altar tonight? Boy, that was a good message. By the way, that's a brother helping a brother. Amen. That's the way it should be. But you're always going to have Absalom that's always outside the camp. that enters into the camp from time to time trying to draw people to him. And so when you see an Absalom that's not with it, I mean, you know, they're not faithful. They're not, they look like that every message is stepping on them. They look in pain all the time. When the preacher's preaching, it's like, look in pain. You know, preacher tells a joke and it's like, you know, they're just not with it. You can always tell. Their heart shows up on their face. You can always tell. All right? Now, so what do? When Absalom all of a sudden starts pulling on him again, you know, you can intervene. Hey, it's great to see you. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad to see you in church. Come here. Let's talk a little bit. And just take him over. Hey, look, I'll tell you what. Why don't you sit beside me and listen to that preaching? Woo! Hey, there he is again. Woo! Hey, that's my preacher. Woo! Boy, it is so good. Preach it, preacher. You're stepping on his toes. And just have fun. Come on, just have fun. Thank you. Don't be so tight in church. Learn to stand for God. Oh, come on. Learn to stand for God. You know, learn to let God use you. Amen. You know, I see something that I want to draw your attention to, and that is this. I think we have people in our church that are just waiting for somebody to come along and saying, hey, listen, I really admire what you're doing, but I'd sure like to learn how to do that. I really admire that I'm hearing that God answered prayers. Would you teach me a little bit about that prayer stuff? I really am excited about how you're raising your family. Can you give me some tidbits about how to raise a godly family such as yours? But sometimes people are shy. I used to be shy. But you can change that if you want to. You know, and sometimes people will not ask you. So sometimes you have to invite them. I see you're coming to church. And I see that he's not Absalom anymore, by the way. And I see you're coming to church. And I see you're sitting there all by yourself. Hey, listen, we got a little fellowship tonight after church. We're going down to Denny's and we're going to eat. I'd like to invite you out. Would you come?
Yes, sir.
Would you come? It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a good time. Amen. Yeah. All right. You know, sometimes somebody just needs you to reach in and just to work with them. Father, bless, we do pray tonight. Please help us, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.